we're in this amazing, amazing time. And we're so thankful that we, you know, through social media and through the internet in general, we can be connected with pretty much anyone, anywhere in the world. The challenge is, though, is that with social media and the tools available to us, because we can be connected to so many people and because these systems rely on quantity of connections, the quality misses out. So we go a mile wide, but an inch deep.
That was Svi Band, CEO of Contactually and our guest today on digital mindfulness. In running Contactually, Svi is focused on improving the quality of our business relationships and believes also that our relationships are our most important assets. Svi is also the author of a new book called Success is in Your Sphere, Leveraging the Power of Relationships to Achieve Your Business Goals. And in this fascinating talk, Svi highlights why being more intentional about our relationships will ultimately improve the quality of those relationships, why the social network's pivot to privacy is so important, and why the intersection of trust and intentionality brings the best from human connection. But before all of this, welcome to Digital Mindfulness. In this podcast, we bring together thought leaders focusing on responsible innovation in all its guises, from ethical technologies to digital well-being. We're focused on the advancement of responsible and sustainable innovation, and the best place to take a deeper dive on these fascinating topics is by going to our website or meeting us in person at one of our 2020 events, where we bring together the global community to discuss the innovations in responsible and sustainable innovation. I hope you enjoy this discussion with Svi Band. Svi, thank you so much for spending time with us here on Digital Mindfulness. It's a real pleasure to have you on the show, and I'm really looking forward to discussing more about your book and how we can have mindful, connected relationships. So welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
So take a bit of time and explain to us a little bit how you came to be working, not just with Contactually and about your book, but how you just came to this space at all about, you know, connecting people and doing that in a purposeful, intentional way.
Yeah, well, technology honestly is pretty straightforward. You know, I was the kid playing with Legos growing up. I actually really thought growing up I wanted to be an architect and like build buildings, because like that's basically big Legos, right? I'm oversimplifying it, but when my parents brought home our first computer, I was like, oh, nope, this is what I'm going to do. And I fell in love with just building software and creating websites, applications, et cetera. So that was kind of pretty set in my career. The relationship side is pretty interesting, because I've actually been pretty introverted, and I would say like a very shy person growing up, even early on in my career. When I first graduated college, I remember my first job out of university, they asked me to, you know, go to some networking events. I was like, you're absolutely crazy. That's not my world. I sit at computers and I write code. However, you know, I got very lucky that some amazing things happened in my career by just knowing the right people and having the right relationships. And, you know, it really saved me in a number of times. And, you know, honestly, that's kind of why I decided that I was going to, you know, invest more of my time and now dedicate my career to helping professionals be more connected.
I think it's a really important point you make, not just about the book, which definitely we're going to be talking about a lot more later on, but this whole idea of making meaningful connections and how you came to that. Because in this age of social media, where it's easy to connect with everyone extremely quickly, that whole idea, particularly of the reputation of connecting with people and having these digital connections, that's really gone through the ringer a little bit.
And that's actually one of the biggest problems that we have nowadays. And honestly, that we need to, you know, counteract is that, yes, we're in this amazing, amazing time. And we're so thankful that we, you know, through social media and through the internet in general, we can be connected with pretty much anyone, anywhere in the world. The challenge is, though, is that with social media and the tools available to us, because we can be connected to so many people and because these systems rely on quantity of connections, the quality misses out. So we go a mile wide, but an inch deep. And it's no surprise that there was a, there was Cigna, a health insurance company here in the United States. They did a survey of 20,000 Americans, and over half identified as being lonely. And there's obviously report after report that the more time you spend on social media, sometimes the more disconnected or the lonelier, the worse that you feel. And so that's a problem that we're surrounded. We're almost like in this crowded hall, but we're not talking to anyone.
I think everything you just said then is incredibly important, particularly so because going out, meeting people, making these intentional relationships, these aren't things that you would naturally deviate towards. So could you tell us a little bit more about what the thing was, you know, what was that spark that really led you to start thinking about this and almost working against what your natural proclivity would be?
Yeah, I think so. It initially started off as curiosity. I knew that, for me early on, I remember, stepping foot in my my first day at my first job out of college and just something not clicking. I'm like, wait a second, this doesn't feel right. Like, I'm not supposed to sit at a desk and just kind of wait for instructions and be told what to do. I want to go out and build my own things. And so that had me seeking out entrepreneurs and like people who were like, in the business community locally. And I knew no other way to do it than just to kind of go meet people. So I started throwing myself into conferences and networking events and things like that. And it was scary because, you go to a networking event, a crowded bar, you're poorly lit with a lot of people in suits, kind of going and meeting each other. I didn't know what to do there. So I just did the only thing I know to do, which is kind of, find someone and, talk to them and become friends with them. And through that, I found that I was naturally going deeper with those people rather than kind of, having these kind of 5-10 minute conversations really fast and exchange business cards and that's it. And fast forward a little bit later, a few years later, I was leaving my job pretty suddenly. This is actually at the very beginning of the recession here in the US. And sure enough, those people that I had met and gotten to know pretty well ended up coming to bat for me and unlocked amazing opportunities. And that happened over and over again. I became CTO of an enterprise software company that was acquired. I started working with Ford and CBS and Volkswagen and all these amazing brands purely because I knew the right people. And my reputation really carried me. And that's kind of why I said, hey, this is, I didn't realize, I never thought about it, but these relationships are really my most important asset.
Wow. And I guess, that's a fantastic story because again, it's not so much what you know, it's not about you getting all this, kind of, college education or certifications, you attribute a large portion of your success professionally to the people that you know, the quality of your relationships.
Yeah, I mean, you're touching on something pretty interesting, right? And that, Lincoln, what's changed over the past 20, 30 years? And no surprise, relationships have always been important, right? Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People, right? It came out in the 20s, right? We know that we're social creatures and we're wired from birth. It's in our DNA to need social connection and relationships to survive. What's changed though over the past 20 or some years? By being connected to more people, by having all this information online, the knowledge gap has decreased, right? The skills I have doesn't necessarily matter much. Number one, because so much of it's available online for free. And because we're connected with so many people, I can work with anyone around the world or anyone around the world can work with me. For example, I'm bringing on a designer for a project, and it used to be that I would have to work with a designer, not just in my city, but sometimes in my neighborhood. Now I'm talking to designers in Indonesia and Uzbekistan and Romania and Croatia. It doesn't matter where they are. What matters is do they have the skills that I want to work with. And so that's why if the knowledge gap is gone and the skills gap is gone, what sets any two professionals apart? it's the social connections and the social proof about them. So that's why I think nowadays your relationships are really becoming our most important asset as we move forward.
You know, one of the things that you've mentioned a couple of times, which I think is really interesting, and I want to draw out, is that now we have the ability to forge relationships and meaningful relationships, not just within 5 mile span of us. Like, we can do that. We can cross boundaries, and increasingly we can cross cultures, and that's really powerful. Would you say that with us, you know, with our lives becoming increasingly digitized, is it easier or more difficult to make and maintain these relationships?
It's incredibly easy to make and meet relationships, right? Like, you know, it's so easy. Obviously, like, the look, like, you're going to Bordeaux this weekend and I'm going to, you know, the Virginia suburbs. You know, we are an ocean apart, but we're still able to have this personal conversation. The challenge is, by reducing that, you know, reducing friction, you increase that quantity as well, right? We've seen this in startups as well. Like, by, you know, with it being easier to start a company, more companies are starting. Therefore, it's harder and harder to stand out. And so, yes, that means that I have, instead of having, you know, 150 contacts in my Rolodex, I have 40,000 contacts in my database. And so, yes, it's easier to connect people. It's harder to figure out who I need to stay connected to, who I should, and how I actually maintain that connection, because we're in such a noisy environment. Likewise, if I want to maintain a relationship with you, I have to work harder now because you are talking to so many more people.
So I really want to explore this a bit more, and in particular, the impact that being connected to so many people can potentially have on us. Because in the book, you do talk about the Dunbar number on the impact of our relationships, and when it is possible to be connected to everyone everywhere and have, as you mentioned, 40,000 people in a database, what effect does that have on us then psychosocially, when we're only predisposed to have societies or networks of around 150?
Yeah, absolutely. And so you're right. I mean, Robin Dunbar did a survey of British households and looked at, like, you know, Christmas cards, the Christmas card list as a proxy for how many, like, social connections they maintain, and kind of is like, you're right, range around between 150 to 200. And the interesting thing to be thinking about right now is that because we can be connected to so many more people, that's great. That's fine in and by itself. The problem is these same platforms, these same tools are now kind of convincing us to go for quantity instead of quality, right? It's how many Facebook friends do I have? It's how many Twitter followers can I buy? It's how many LinkedIn connections do I have, right? And it's more about new and additional, and it's less about, okay, of the people I have, how do I go deeper with them? And that's the problem. If there are so many, if I have, you know, 3,000 people in my LinkedIn connection list, well, the question I have to ask myself is, yeah, they'll all, you know, maybe like my post, but if I reached out to them and I asked for a job, how many of them would even pick up the phone? Likewise, if any of them reached out to me, like, how likely would I be to help them out? And that's the biggest issue that we have. It's not the quantity of people we're surrounded by, right? It's the quality and the depth, and who has our back, and, you know, how many, quote, best friends do we have? And what are we doing to that? And I see myself too. I get tricked. You know, I'll open up, you know, Instagram or Facebook, and I'll flip through people, and I'll stop at someone, I'll look at a picture and realize, like, I have no idea who this person is, and I really don't care about them. But somehow we became connected, and here I am looking at pictures of them.
This is incredibly interesting, not least for the fact that whenever we do go on, and as you mentioned, onto these different social networks to connect with people, one of the main ways that we can see that someone is successful or worth listening to is by the number of connections that they have. And so automatically we ascribe perhaps more importance to them. So I'm wondering whether, you know, you mentioned about the Dunbar number, but is this way that we prioritize people with perhaps more connections with more importance? Is this a design problem, do you think, or is it a psychology problem?
Design influences psychology and psychology influences design. I think they go hand in hand. And so, yes, I do not fault, there's obviously all this talk about regulating Facebook and LinkedIn and things like that. I do not fault them, because as software designers, they're trying to drive engagement and activity, and what great thing to do then drive that like kind of little dopamine hit of like new connections and pictures and posts. And, in order to do that, you have to build up a certain amount of quality, like, or quantity. I totally get that. The problem we have to realize is human beings, our brains are being hacked in order to help that. And so that's where I think we have to be able to take a step back and say, wait a second, it's not that social media is bad. It's that what part does social media or other tools play in our lives, right? Even my email inbox, your email inbox is a list of conversations sorted by recency, not by importance to them or to you, right? You could easily resort if you want to, or you could make a point and say, hey, maybe I'm just going to go, I'm going to respond to my inbound emails because that's, urgent stuff I want to handle. And then maybe I will scroll 3 or 4 pages back and see who did I talk to a couple weeks ago that maybe I want to re-engage. Small little simple tricks like that.
There's a lot there. And all of the points that you've just made are books in and of themselves. We could discuss them for hours and hours. But I wonder if you can tell us, I know we've been talking a lot about the book and the importance of relationships and the importance of the digitization of these relationships, but can you talk to us about the book, about success in your sphere, about what it is about exactly and why it's so important for us?
Yeah, absolutely. And we should frame it that, like, when we're talking about relationships here, we're not necessarily talking about romantic relationships. We're talking about, like, they tend to trend more business relationships, but these are the relationships that will help us in our career, in our lives, in our jobs, in some way, like, help us grow and become better humans. Yes, romantic relationships are part of that, but, we're talking about kind of the more overarching, professional business relationships aspect. The key thing is that if we believe that our relationships are our most important asset in our lives, then we really need to capture that we're talking about it being an asset, right? And just like the financial assets that we have, right? In order to grow and or in order not to lose them, we need strategies, tools, systems, processes in order to be able to help us nurture those relationships. So, for example, with Contactually, the software company I created back in 2011, that was a tool, right? Is a tool to help you stay engaged with key relationships, because I knew I needed some kind of structure behind that. And I wasn't just going to be the person that would randomly think of the right people to talk to and prioritize them and just naturally be good at that. So I need tools behind that. The book achieves the same goal. Is that if we believe that our relationships are important for us, then we need to stop treating this as like a New Year's resolution and start really putting strategy and systems in place behind it. We need to be intentional around figuring out what our goals are. Who do we choose to stay in touch with? How do we stay in touch with them? How do we stay top of mind with them? And so the reason why I wrote this book over the past few years is that, there's obviously a wealth of information around relationship building out there, but I didn't see one guy that gave this strategic recipe that I could just follow start to finish in order to nurture those relationships.
It's a really important point you made, and, not to labor this point about the whole idea of trust in business, but it is such an important thing that people will only do business with people that they trust. And one of the core points of the book is about intentionality with our relationships. And one of the things that really jumped out at me, I think, something that I felt when I was reading that was that, if someone was to just skim over this, then it might be seen as being quite transactional if we're thinking about if we're being so intentional with our relationships. But I think actually you're making a much more important point that we have to be much more aware of our goals. And And being more intentional in this way will drastically help to improve the quality, not of the relationship, not just of the relationships to come, but also the relationships that we have currently.
Yeah, absolutely. You brought up something that like is important, that like when, yo, I'm sure there are some people that flinched when I kind of talked about relationships being an asset and a tool for us. Yes, there's definitely like, yo, let's address kind of the icky factor of that. People do business with people they know, right? Therefore, in order for me to grow my business, I want to be able to know more people or have more people know me. But am I going out and seeking to build relationships purely for a transactional nature? I think we have to be clear that, like, again, we also want to work with people that we know and care about, right? You know, there are a number of people that even that we interview in the book. There's one person, Shay, who says that she actually invited a lot of her clients to her wedding, not because she was trying to do business with them, but because she had built such a relationship with them. Again, let's kind of, you know, let's realize that we're in a world of, you know, weak connections and try and go deep, even with the people that we're working with. And so, yes, we are trying to nurture relationships with people that will help our business and help our lives. But also, we want to be of service to people that we can help and we can find intentionality to. So yeah, like for me, you know, one of the things I do in my relationship building is when I'm looking at people that I want to stay in touch with and not, it's not just, you know, whether I believe they can benefit, you know, some goal I'm trying to achieve, but are they people that I want to work with? You know, do I walk away from every conversation feeling like a better person? Or do I just want to go take a shower because I just feel so icky and gross? You know, those are kind of some of the questions that we need to be thinking about today. So yeah, I do think we should be intentional around every person that we try and build. Even my wife and I, right? We're making a point of, you know, for our family, we want to surround ourselves with other families that, you know, inspire us, that we believe we can help. They're trying to change the world, and not just people who just, you know, want to watch, you know, TV all weekend long. And so that's why I think, you know, giving a little bit of strategy in a place. And so it does start off with the overall goals you're trying to achieve, and then you kind of work from there.
I think everything that you've just mentioned, and in particular, those two core pillars of trust and intentionality behind quality relationships, I think they're so incredibly important. And for me, they shed light on the moves by the social networks, but in particular Facebook, in the pivot to privacy, that if we are interacting with smaller, more trusted groups of people, then the interactions that we have will be more intentional by default. And then that leads then, of course, to a richer community and richer interactions with people.
Exactly. And then the point is then, you know, once you kind of have that quantity kind of, you know, brought to a more manageable number, then it's around depth, right? And, you know, that's why, like, you know, in the capital strategy, which walks through the book, you know, it's not just about like aggregating your relationships and then prioritizing them. Then it's, you know, making sure that you know them, like, and that's, you know, really like capture that information, right? You're remembering and marking down in my journal that, you know, you're going to Bordeaux this weekend, so I can kind of, you know, capture that as a little note, remembering our conversation points, because that's what we do about people we care about. We understand not just, you know, the transaction we're trying to have with them, but we understand them and what they're trying to do and trying to achieve, and so we can better help them overall. And from there, we can then figure out how we add value, and not just follow up in a sleazy context, but really make sure that we're being of value and we're building that personal and authentic relationship.
One of the key ideas that you write about in the book is this idea of the capital strategy. Could you tell us a little bit more about what that is and why that's important?
Yeah, absolutely. So the again, if we want a strategy behind this, you know, we didn't find anything out there. And so through working with tens of thousands of businesses with Contactually, we kind of came up with this recipe. So I'll just walk kind of briefly through everyone. So C in capital is consistency, being able to act with consistency over and over again to achieve long-term goals. A is for aggregate, we have contacts in so many different sources all over the web and all over different tools. So we need to be able to build that database of everyone we know. From there, P, prioritize. Based on the goals that we set, we need to prioritize our relationships and not just try and organize them. From there, I is for investigate. We want to gain as much intelligence and knowledge and capture that all in one place. Remember, you know, everything up here kind of goes away after some time. And so we need to make sure that we're being intentional around tracking and recording that information. From there, timely engagement. Again, there's the time decay of memory and time decay of relationships, therefore. So we need to make sure that for the people we care about and want them to care about us, we need to make sure that we're staying in touch with them every period of time. From there, A is about adding value, not just following up, but adding value. And finally, L is for leverage. We want to make sure that's easier and easier and easier for us to repeat that process over and over again. So that in a nutshell, and we obviously dedicate, you know, chapters to each one of these, but that's the capital strategy in a nutshell.
One of the things that you and I have both mentioned during the course of this interview is that it might feel a little bit uncomfortable to people to be thinking strategically and intentionally about our relationships. But the more that I hear, the more that I read in the book, and the more that we go on in this interview, particularly with what you just said, I think it's incredibly important. And I think even though you haven't committed to saying this in the book, but I think you're talking about more than business. I think that being intentional with our close personal relationships, about doing things, or for example, checking in with people that we know we should be checking in with, but we don't do that. We perhaps push that to another point in time, and we do that mentally. By being intentional with those very close relationships, be they business or no, is something, this is a skill that perhaps we should be all thinking about and practicing more.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. Like, I mean, you're right. We rooted our talk and our strategy in a professional context. But as we know, there is no line between professional and personal. There are, you know, again, there are business relationships of mine that, like, I'm very close friends with. There are college friends of mine who are now business associates. There is no line. So you're right. There's definitely a thread of, you know, in the book of, this isn't just a strategy guide on how to grow your business. This is a strategy guide on how to be a better human, especially in today's age.
And that is interesting, isn't it? Like, when you can have 40,000 friends, like, and again, you mentioned this in the book, but it's hard to differentiate. You can't just say, I went to Harvard, I went to Oxford. It's like that doesn't differentiate you, but actually, are you a good human being? You know, like, do I like you? Do I want you as part of my life? Do I want to do business with you?
And do I trust you? Do we have the social connections in common? Is there that social proof there? So you're right. You know, if, when I'm hiring, for example, if someone were to cold apply me saying, like, hey, I went to Harvard, I'd be like, all right, cool, that's nice. But if someone who I trust said, hey, you have to talk to Jonathan over there, he's great, I'd be like, yes, absolutely, please. Like, I want to talk to him as soon as possible. And that's, again, we're wired as human beings to rely on those relationships in order to stay safe, in order to know who to talk to, in order to know who's not going to kill us. And so that translates in, you know, in the context of the world that we are today.
One of the things that you spoke about, Shvi, which was really fascinating, and you've skipped over it, so I'd love you to just expand upon it a bit more, is this whole idea of depth. Perhaps it's, you know, you could translate that as the quality of relationships, but you talked about how the depth of our relationships are really important. And I'm really interested to know how, and this might lead onto a discussion about contextually, but how can you either design for that, or how do you, there are two questions. So how do you design for depth of relationships when you have like a platform such as your own? But then also, if you're a person using that, how do you behave for depth in relationships?
Yeah, they're both pretty interconnected, right? So, you know, depth or like the mindshare that we have someone is kind of a function of two basic things. You know, how often are we staying in touch, or how, like, you know, how often are we staying in touch? And then how likely are we to, you know, and how much do we care about them, or how much do they value or trust us? And so, yes, like maintaining cadence is some kind of, you know, is a basic thing, whether it's staying in touch once a year or things like that. Then I think there's definitely the function of, you know, how much are we willing to invest and care about this person? You know, what is that? What are the feelings that we're delivering to them? It is a very, very different thing to send someone a $5 Starbucks card versus sending them a, you know, handcrafted mug that has their life story on it, like, as, you know, my friend John Rulin likes to do with his contacts, right? That's a completely different experience. I relay a story in the book about how I went to follow up with someone, and, you know, normally, you know, you send kind of a quick email message saying, hey, thanks, you know, thanks for meeting up, really appreciate it. Or I remembered from our conversation that, you know, on the way out, just, you know, casual small talk, he mentioned his kid was playing basketball that weekend and really loved playing basketball. And so instead of a thank you note, I, you know, went online and bought him a basketball, sent it to his house with a personal note. Completely different experience. It cost, you know, 20 minutes more of my time and, you know, $10, but, you know, that is a sea change of difference, you know. So yeah, we do have to think about the level of investment that we're placing in people. And yes, again, we're starting to get the icky factor, but, you know, again, we're choosing to surround ourselves and invest more time with the people that we care more about. And it's not just time, it's also like money and resources, social capital, et cetera.
I think that having a manual such as the one that you've just created is really important for us. Just if not for the fact that we're very rarely taught as people how to maintain the relationships that are most important to us. And so having something that just reiterates to us again, not only the importance of maintaining relationships, but actually giving concrete steps on how to do it so that it becomes more natural is incredibly important.
Yeah, I mean, it is strange that, like, you know, we're, you know, this isn't taught in, like, again, professional contacts, but business school or law school or something like that, right? That, like, it's just kind of assumptive that, oh, you'll just figure it out. But for me, I wish someone had told me, maybe, you know, freshman year of university, hey, you know, it's not just what you learn here, but it's, you know, the connections that you walk away with from here that you should be thinking about and how to stay connected. So yeah, there's again, it's always surprises me that there's not more conversation around this.
You mentioned that you've spoken to a lot of people to be able to put this book together. So I'm wondering if you can share some examples of people that have had success in implementing some of the strategies that you've written about.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And there are a number of stories about this in the book. So for example, there's a realtor in Chicago here in the United States, who, again, her way of adding value is she will basically, like, instead of, you know, she'll go and get reservations at all the best restaurants in the city on Valentine's Day. And basically the week before Valentine's Day, she'll email all her contacts that she cares about and say, hey, I know some of you may have been busy and forgotten about Valentine's Day reservations. Here are a bunch of reservations. Which restaurants can I get you set up with, right? And that helps achieve a number of things because, you know, she's not just sending the holiday, you know, the normal holiday card, you know, holiday card. She's not sending out gift cards, things like that. She's doing something that, like, stands out in some way. Or there's a story of a Hollywood agent who cares about building deep relationships. And, you know, one of the things that he does is, you know, when he cares about someone a lot, he'll follow them on social media or pay attention to them very closely and not try and stay in touch with them every so often, but look for the right opportunities where he can really jump in and help, where he can make a recommendation. So for example, I do the same thing too. You know, there are a lot of people I care a lot about. And the moment I hear someone is hiring for their company, I will look and I'll ping my entire network to find people. Or when I know someone's fundraising, let me connect with all the investors I can, right? So it's finding those ways of adding value in some way. And also, you know, again, in the world we are today, finding some way to stand out above the crowd. So for example, a common thing for, you know, people to do is, again, we're social creatures, and a common social connection is, you know, sharing a meal together. Okay, great. Well, you can invite a bunch of people out to dinner or lunch and, you know, and have that connection there. That's great. But can you do something deeper, right? Can you have like it's called like a Jeffersonian dinner, where, you know, you have a dinner with a shared conversation around one topic or a series of questions, you know, and everyone's kind of talking about the same thing. Could you do it in a different place? There's a guy, Chris Shembra, up in New York City, who had a dinner like this in the middle of Times Square, right? In one of the most crowded places in the world, where, you know, there's so many people, you're able to sit down and have this intimate dinner with, you know, 10 other people, right? How can you do things like that?
So I'm thinking now, for someone who's reading your book and naturally wouldn't be extroverted enough to just go up to people and start intentionally making relationships, what advice would you give to them? Where's a good place for people to start to implement some of the strategies that you've been talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so it's funny, when you actually talk to some of the, and again, through this book and through Contactually, I've had the opportunity to get engaged with many people, you know, some of the best CEOs, the public speakers, the executives, the financial advisors, lawyers, consultants, accountants, people who are at the top of their industry, and you think, oh my God, they're the most well-connected people. They actually tend to be more introverted people. The difference is, though, is that because of that, they have to be more intentional around relationship building, right? I create, you know, people think of me like, you know, people sometimes think of me as this like super connector person. And yeah, I may do that nowadays, but I only do it because I'm not inherently very good at it. That doesn't come to me naturally. So I've had to be much more strategic around it. I block off time in my calendar. I have a CRM that I'm tracking the people that I care about. I take note of all the people that I want to talk to on a daily basis, because this is not something that just comes to me naturally. There's a quote by a venture capitalist that I love, is that, you know, most people won't, right? And if you think about most people won't, yeah, most people are going to, you know, be too afraid to reach out. Most people aren't going to go and connect with others. Most people aren't going to follow up. So, you know, even if you're introverted, you know, hey, are you going to be the person that breaks through that barrier and actually takes action?
So I guess this is my penultimate question, but I'd love you to tell us a little bit about Contactually, because we haven't touched it really at all. And I love the way that you're saying that these different platforms or these different services, they're rather tools to help you. They're in service of the larger goal of having these great relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. So so what Contactually is we're a relationship oriented CRM. We target, you know, basically anyone who relies on relationships in order to nurture their business, including real estate agents. When you think about a strategy isn't just processes and people, but it's also tools. So Contactually, think of it as a tool that is to help you track the relationships you care about. So it's tracking your email conversations, phone calls, text messages, social media interactions, notes you record, calendar events. It pulls that into one place. And then you can prioritize the relationships you care about and organize them in the way that you want to. You can identify who you need to talk to. You can stay engaged with them. It makes it easy with email templates, things like that. But don't think of the book or even this conversation as a selling point for Contactually. I do believe in this day and age that everyone needs some kind of CRM or database for their relationships. Maybe it's just the contacts on your phone. Maybe it's, you know, a paper notebook. Maybe it's a CRM. Maybe it's an Excel spreadsheet. Whatever you want to do, what matters is that you are investing in the time, the strategy, and the tools to help you nurture your relationships.
Shvi, this was a fantastic. Where can people find out more about your work and connect with you? And more importantly, where can they buy the book?
Yeah, absolutely. So the book is just Success is in Your Sphere. You can go to successisinyoursphere.com. You can also go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any major bookseller, and they're carrying the book right now, thankfully. My name's Zvi Band, Zviband. I'm pretty easy to find. There's only one of me online. And then obviously, Contactually is contact and actually put together. So Contactually, just available at contactually.com.
Thanks so much for spending time with us. Congratulations on getting the book out, getting it published, and I wish you the very best of luck with that. And thank you again for sharing your time and wisdom with us.
Lawrence, this has been a great conversation. I'm so thankful for your time.